Open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 for our scripture reading this morning will be verses 7 through verse 19. If you're taking notes, it'll be walking lights. Walking lights. When's the last time you've seen lights walking? Just want to make a note that some of the messages are now online on our website. So if folks have been wanting to see that, our web designer has been updating things, and there is some of them on there and getting caught up with the messages as we proceed further. I believe that's working out. So give it a try. If someone says, hey, I'd like to have that message, it should be online or coming on shortly. And those of you streaming today, welcome. Those that aren't feeling well that are streaming, I'm praying that you get better, and we miss you today. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 19. It says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. That's talking about the world and those who live in wickedness. It says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Think about it. Think about the benefits of light. When was the last time that you had a power outage and you wished you had light? You know, I think about that, and probably people are saying, like, my tablet wouldn't work, my computer wouldn't work, my microwave wouldn't work. But isn't light a wonderful thing? How many of you have discovered the flashlight feature on your cell phone? That's been awesome. I remember back when flashlights, well, I don't know if they first came available or not, but all the flashlights I remember, they were this big old battery pack, big old square pack, that you screwed these two nuts down and you held this light on top, or else they had the big old flashlights like my dad had with the big old D cells. Anybody know what a D cell? How many of you kids know what a D cell is? But anyway, that was the flashlights. And the thing about those was they weren't as bright as the lights we have today, but my dad had one that had, like, I think four, and so it weighed a ton, and he would go out to check cattle with it. But you could only use it like one night, and you needed more batteries. But aren't lights a blessing? You know, a little light can make a huge difference. So the message today is walking lights. Walking lights. Now, God says that those who walk in sin, if you were to read the first few verses, and I am trying to make it a point not to spend too much time there, but the very important point was made at the beginning of the chapter to say that the world walks in darkness. If you walk in sin, you walk in darkness. Now, they feel like everything's normal, but they feel that there's got to be something more to life. Things just aren't right. And so they think, you know, there's got to be something better. Well, there is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to find happiness or fulfillment, people in verses 3 through 5 were trying to live for themselves. I put down here that they did whatever they wanted to do, and they said whatever they wanted to say, and they thought whatever they wanted to think. Isn't that what kids want to do right away when your little baby is born and it starts to mature? Doesn't that baby want what that baby wants? Doesn't that baby want what it wants when it wants it and how it wants it? And if it doesn't get what it wants when it wants and how it wants, it lets you know that it's not happy. Who taught it to do that? Did you teach it to do that, parents? You go, like, my baby is just not like other people's baby. It never complains. It's always cheerful and happy. And I just miss all those times where they throw fits and such, so I'm going to train my child to do so. And all the parents are laughing. No, that's not the case. We are born, the Bible says, with a sin nature, wanting our own way. And though we may not see ourselves as bad, a matter of fact, I have learned that people don't see themselves as bad. We kind of see ourselves as all right. It's the other people that are bad. Isn't that how we always compare it? I know somebody worse than me, so they're bad. But I'm pretty good. Oh, I know I'm not perfect. Most people say, I know I'm not perfect. I've got my faults, but I'm a pretty good, morally upright person. Well, the Bible says that if you were to compare yourself to God, you would see that it's far from the truth. When you see a little child growing up wanting their own way, that's just the way we are. Have adults changed much? Only if they've been taught that you should care about others. And so that's a biblical truth. You know the old golden rule, do unto others as you would have them to do unto you? How many of you remember hearing that? How many of you try to live that? You know, why do you live that way? Is that because someone taught you or because you believe in your heart that's what God wants you to do? But nonetheless, that's not normal. You have to teach yourself that. Normally, we would think about only ourselves. And if a person reaches adulthood and they still would do what they want to do and say what they want to say and think what they want to think, when they want to, how they want to, and as they want to, what kind of a life do they live? Well, the Bible says that they'll live a life of immorality, of uncleanness as far as God is concerned, of covetousness. Covetousness means what? They're never satisfied, right? Always wanting something more. Now, they'll live a life with filthy language and speech and a life of idolatry. The idolatry means that they have to worship something. If you don't believe that there's a God, that one proof alone should tell you that God created us. God created us with a desire to worship something. God put in every man's conscience an understanding that there is a God. And the Bible says that many people, in Romans it says, many people decided that they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. Why? Because they didn't want to be accountable to Him. And so they imagined up another God. And when people worship all these false gods, where do they come from? It comes from a desire to worship the kind of God that they want, not the kind of God that created them. And so we see there that God says here in verse 7, be not ye, therefore, partakers with them. The message today is for believers. I don't mean to exclude those who don't know Christ as their Savior. Jesus wants you to come to know Him, and we cover that in the message a little because I never want to skip salvation in a message, especially on Sunday morning. But the point here that God is speaking to here is talking to believers. And He said, you are to walk as light. You see, people need light. People we need physically, and we need spiritual light. Now, there's three characteristics of light. Let's just take a look at them. The first characteristic of light is that light pushes back darkness. You ever notice that? You ever take a flashlight and shine it into a dark room? I had one in my office. I was going to bring it up here so I could shine it at the kids here and get them in their eyes and wake them up. But if I was to shine a light into a dark room, what would you expect? You'd expect for that light to come out in a beam, right? And it get bigger as it goes out, but that beam would light everything in its path, and it would dispel the darkness. It would push back the darkness. How many of you ever take paint and you have some white, dark black paint and you pour in the white paint? What happens to that? It kind of phases in and you get some sort of a gray. That's the way light would be if God hadn't commanded it to do differently. Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in the beginning, and it says, darkness was upon the face of the deep. As you continue to verse 3, it says, God said, let there be light. So who made light? God did. And then verse 3 says, God divided the light from the darkness. So no longer can they mingle, right? It's a command of God that light dispels darkness. It pushes it back. And when God says we're to be the lights of the world, we're going to see the application. We push back evil. When you shine your flashlight into a dark room, it doesn't make gray swirls. It doesn't just blend in. It stays a beam. It stays separate. Have you ever noticed that? And the moment you turn off the light, what happens? Boom, darkness is back. Light is the source that pushes back darkness. Number two, light reveals. Light reveals small print. I know when I was growing up, I used to sit around and with the old guys working on their vehicles. I mean, they were old. They were in their probably in some of them 30s and 40s. They were really old back then. And they were working on the equipment, and they would have a bearing. I remember it. There's little numbers stamped on bearings so you can tell part number so you know which one to get. And they'd be going like, what's the number on that bearing? And they're going like this. And they're putting their glasses down and they're trying to see it. And I'm going like, here, let me see that. And I grab it. 6205RF. And they would go, don't be too smart. One of these days you won't be able to see those. Now I go like, what's that? I'm not say anything. Get my flashlight out, shine on there, get the magnifying glass to... 6205, I don't know, BSRS, I can't see. Light makes a big difference though, doesn't it? You see, light shines on the subject and it makes things clear. It brings out the details. Painting in low light conditions is another example. We need light. I found that out the other day. I was painting a wall and I did a beautiful job. And there was no misses, no runs, no nothing. And the next morning when there's light, there's misses. What does that tell you? We need light. Light shows the imperfections. Everything is fine in the dark. But when the light comes on, things are revealed. Things get harder with age, you know, and as you get older, you don't notice the dirt. You don't notice all these other things. But a bright light allows you to use your skills. I was just thinking, you know, on another topic, as I was getting older, when I was growing up, I learned to weld, and I had my dad's welding helmet, and he had one of those that you had the stick on, you know, that you hold, and then you can bring it in front of your face and weld. And I was still using that. I was still using my dad's new lenses, of course, but I was using my dad's welding helmet, and I was trying to weld, and it was getting to where I couldn't see what I was doing. I hated to say it, but when I looked at my weld after I got done, I said, who welded that? That's terrible. That's pathetic. And I have to get the grinder out and grind it all back off. So I went and I splurged. I've talked about it for years, but I went out and bought one of those helmets that comes down with the auto darkening. Got a little sensor up there. You can see where you're at and see the parts instead of going and trying to find where you're at. I just put it right where it went. And as soon as it hit, the mask comes darkened and away. I'm going like, hey, I can still weld. I realize that having this helmet and allowing the light to get to me that I needed but protecting me from the bad rays allowed me to use my skills. I hadn't lost them, I just couldn't see. You know, many people know what the truth is, but they just don't see the error that's in their life. And I just want you to know that not only does light push back darkness, but light reveals things to us. And the third thing about light is it revives. How does light revive? I'll have to say this, it sure is good to feel that sun on a nice sunny morning. Especially when it's in the 50s, isn't it? It's right in the 60s. I prefer about 60, that'd be perfect for me. 60, 65 all day we could just do fine with. Going out and getting in that cool morning and seeing the sun come up, it makes you want to do something. It sure beats that 5, 6 o'clock in the morning in the middle of January, February, where you get out of the bed and it's like you're... And nothing wants to function yet. Now, I know some of you, you can get up at 3 and it's all good to go. But you notice the difference? I like, even though I have to work a lot longer, I enjoy it. I enjoy the sunlight. So sun revives. Sun makes us feel good. I don't like rising before the light. I don't like the time change. Now, I heard that the Senate voted to abolish it, but I still can't find out if it passed the House and whether it's official yet or not. So we may have another time change, but I just like the long summer days where the sun is shining. So light is important. I put down, we can't live properly without it. And then I thought, you know what? I crossed that properly out. You can't live without light. And so we're going to talk about light, and we're going to talk about spiritual light. And so point number one was there's three characteristics of light, but point number two, God wants us to walk as children of light. See that in verse 8? I've got it highlighted. Highlight that in your Bible. If you highlight, it says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. You're not your own light. Who shines through you? The Lord. He's the one that has the source of the spiritual light. He is the source of light. We'll see that here in a minute. And so this verse says here, we are to walk as children of light. So this, for all, requires that we first come to the light. If we're going to walk as children of light, if we're going to walk as in the light of the Lord, we've got to be in Him. And that's where salvation comes in. If you were to turn in your Bible, but keep your place here, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 and 6 says this. It says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," remember, we saw that in Genesis, "that same God hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. Have you understood? Has the Holy Spirit shined in your heart, showed you the sin? Have you felt the load of the guilt that's on your life for your failures? Even though we say, "Oh, I'm better than so-and-so," we do that because we're feeling that guilt. And so Jesus has provided for us a solution. Well, what was the problem? I probably should get to that first. You see, because we are sinners and God is holy, there's a separation there. Everybody will tell me this about heaven. They'll say heaven's a perfect place. If you were to ask them, "Is there going to be sin in heaven?" They go like, "No." "Is there going to be pain in heaven?" "No." "Is there going to be sickness in heaven?" "No." "Is there going to be rottenness in heaven?" "No." "Is there going to be stealing in heaven?" "No." "Is there going to be lying in heaven?" The list goes on. No. So, is there pain, sin, lying, stuff in our lives? So can we just enter to heaven the way we are? There needs to be a change. I think everybody understands that. Good enough isn't good enough, is it? Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." In other words, we don't measure up to the perfection of heaven, God's abode, where he is a perfect, holy God. We have sinned against him. So how am I going to get to heaven? How many of you can fix your past sins and make yourself perfectly clean just like you never sinned? Can't do it. And that's why God sent his Son to pay that sin debt. And Romans 6:23 said, "The wages of sin is death, but that gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So God wants to insert life. He shines the light and says, "Look, there is a gift of salvation. There is a way to heaven. There is a way to be forgiven. And there is a new way to live. You don't have to live in selfishness anymore and in desiring this and wanting more and living in guilt. God will forgive you of that sin, clean the slate, and allow you to live for him victoriously and enjoy." Is life still full of troubles? Yes. But praise God, Jesus is with you all the way. So let's move along here and understand some things. We first must come to the light and be saved. We must understand, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, that the Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. He is the source. And so when I trust him, I become the child of light. Because John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him," that's the gift of salvation, Jesus Christ, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And if God is light, I become a what? Son of light, or a child of light. You get the tying in? So how many of you are saved today, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many are saved today and say, "Praise God, the Holy Spirit shined in my heart. I saw my need of salvation. I received that gift that Jesus has offered, and there's light in my soul today. I serve a risen Savior. I am a child of light." Well, what does that exactly mean to us? That's what the message is on today, and I'm going to try to keep it lively as best I can. And so now it says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, that I am a child of light, and God needs to shine through me. My life is now supposed to be different. And the first thing I remember about light is light pushes back darkness. Right? Isn't that what God said? Genesis 1:2, he separated the light from the darkness. If I am a child of light, that means I'm supposed to be different than a child of darkness. Correct? Making sense still? It's saying that my life is supposed to push back evil. In Ephesians chapter 5, since we're right close there, what's it say in verse 11? I hope I got the right reference here. It says, "And have no fellowship," there it is, "with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Is there anything wrong with saying, "Hey, that's wrong"? Wouldn't it be neat if America, more Americans were saying, "That's wrong. God says that's wrong"? Because a lot of people say, when you say, "That's wrong," he says, "Says who?" When I was growing up, as a youngster, I remember being around some of the other boys my age. And I remember one time they were going to steal something. And I said, "That's wrong." And they said, "Says who?" I'm going like, "I don't know. Never heard of that." But I wasn't going to do it because I know Mom and Dad said it was wrong. Right? That was good enough for me. And if Mom and Dad said it was wrong and I did it, I was going to be in trouble with them. But why did Mom and Dad say it was wrong? Who made this moral code? Who said it's wrong to steal? Thou shalt not steal. Who said it's wrong to kill? I mean, isn't it all right to kill someone if they're aggravating you? I mean, I have my rights and my wants, and I can do what I want. Isn't that okay? I was angry with him, so I killed him. That's all right. I'm justified. We got a whole list of thou shalt nots in the Ten Commandments, right? So we don't want those anymore because that's God's moral code. So we take them out of our schools because it's going to hurt our children. Can you think of one of the Ten Commandments that's going to harm your kids? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, a lot of people do that. Yes, but does it mean it's okay? No, thou shalt not. It is wrong. The Bible says that light will expose error. So when I turn on my flashlight and look at the room or the grain bin, it was perfectly clean when I couldn't see, but now there's stuff that needs to be cleaned up. Right? As God's word shines light upon my life, he says this is right and this is wrong, and I start to say, "Ooh, there's some things in my life that aren't right." They are, and by the way, if something's not right, it is wrong. Because there is a difference between what? Light and darkness, between good and evil. It's not gray. So who is it that declares the moral code? Thank goodness it's God. Because if we start using people, we have what's called situation ethics. And situation ethics operates on what the status quo is of the group or whoever's in charge. And it changes from one moment to the next. God never changes, and his moral law has proven to be absolute and perfect, and it sheds light upon our lives. And so first of all, our lives as children of light should be different, and we should be pushing back that darkness. Now, number two, light reveals things, as we kind of mentioned. It makes us productive in Ephesians 5:10. It says here that we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving. I don't understand that word too well. It's not something we use a lot in English language today. It's not a popular modern term to prove something. But my grandpa explained this word to me just in practice, because my grandpa was Italian, my adopted grandpa. He was Italian, and he knew five different languages. So English was not his primary language. It was a secondary language he had learned. And so he was trying to communicate with us, and it was broken English, as we would call it. And he would used to say, if we would fix something together, he said, "Well, we need to go prove that." I'd go like, "What?" How many of you ever say that? When I fix something, I test it out. Right? Well, that's exactly what prove means. Let's see what it's about. Let's see if it'll work. So we need to prove it. We need to put it into action. We need to try out what God says to do and see that it works. Well, what is it that God says to do? Well, let's take a look at the next point. God's word is not only pushes back darkness, and it not only reveals things in our lives that we shouldn't do, but it shows what we should do. But now we come to the refreshing part. Remember, light revives. What is so refreshing about walking light? Well, as children of light, we can produce life. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So let's take a look at those three words real quick. What does goodness mean? I looked it up. It means kindness. I like kind people. How many of you appreciate it when people are kind to you? I love Carrington, North Dakota. And I just like North Dakota. I just like the spirit here. Now, I've been all to a lot of places in the country, and I like some. I got sweet friends down south in different areas, so don't take me wrong. But I do like this area. When I come here, people start waving at me. It's almost like I cross the state line. "Hey, there he's home!" You know, everybody waving like, "Who was that?" "I don't know." And, you know, people say like, "Well, who was that?" They come from out of state. People were waving at me. What's the deal? We're friendly here. We don't put it on our license plate. We do this. Isn't it refreshing when people are nice to you? And you can go into a business. And I called up to have my power turned on. And I called up and I said, "Hey, I'd like to have my power turned on." And they said, "Not a problem. What's the address and the name? And they wrote it down, and they go like, okay. I'm going like, what do you mean, okay? I was expecting them to say, well, we'll send you a form where you can tell us your life history. We can sign away your children, your parents, and everybody else. You can send us a $1,000 deposit, and we'll consider doing it within the next 2 months. Because that's the way it was where I was at. And they go like, no, that's fine. And so I call up. I'm going like, well, that's amazing. I call up telephone company. I'm going to need telephone service when I move back home there. And they go like, okay, that's fine. And would you like the old telephone number you used to have when you were a kid? What? Got my same old telephone number back. Isn't it nice when people treat you kindly and like you're important and like you're somebody? The devil doesn't do that. The devil and his crowd wants to treat themselves as somebody and you as second rate. They will treat you kindly when they want something from you. Boy, that came right to your lips, didn't it? Because you know it's true. You see, God loves us. He loves us and he demonstrates it by doing things for us. Things that cost him. It cost him his life that you might have salvation. And now he wants us to live as children of him, reflecting his light so that other people might be saved. You say, well, I thought God just wanted me to be saved and then just do nothing. Well, that's pretty selfish. You aren't getting the light at all. If he was willing to die that you might be saved, don't you suppose he died for someone else too and he wants you to tell them? Wouldn't it be terrible if you got to heaven and he said, how many people did you tell about me? He said, like, well, I don't care. I just got saved. And you go like, are you kidding me? Wouldn't that be embarrassing? No, God says you are the light. Children of light produce life. He says goodness is kindness. And that's where the golden rule came from. By the way, those who do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, that came from the Bible. That's God's moral code. I'm telling you the world's moral code, do unto others before they do it to you. That's not right. That's wrong. Number two, he said righteousness. That means doing things God's way, not doing things your way and saying, God, approve of this. You know, it's kind of like the old prayer, God, we're going to go do this now, so bless it. That's a typical Baptist prayer. Okay, we got the plans all made. Okay, let's talk to God and tell him to put his hand of blessing on this. Well, what's the true Baptist way or the true Bible way? It's to say this, God, we have these plans. We're stepping forward. Will you bless it? Either guide and direct us in another way or bless what we're about to do. But Lord, we want your leading in this. And so here we go. All right. And then the third one is light produces truth. Isn't that what it says there? The Holy Spirit produces truth. Truth is light. First of all, it's God's way and not my way. Now, I know I saw a shirt that I wanted to get, but I never got it. And it had a thing on there, it says, Dad is always right. On the back it said, when Dad is wrong, refer to rule number one. Dad is always right. Now, Dad's not always right, but my Heavenly Father is. And what he says is to be true is true. His testimonies are truth. He sheds light on it. He says, this is the way it works. Guess what? That's the way it works. You can argue with it. You can go ahead and do it your own way. You can do all those things. But if you want it to work, do it his way. And so I hope that you understand how refreshing it is to walk in kindness of the Lord and to share it with others and do it God's way and know that that way will work and it's right. So how is your life? Would you say your life is more light or more darkness? In other words, would you say you start your day out with God and walk with him all day? Or are you just kind of doing your own thing, which, by the way, is darkness? Because darkness is doing your own thing. You don't know what's going to happen later on today, so why are you making plans for it? Wouldn't it be better to ask the one who knows what's going to happen and then say, let's go do this? What do you say, Lord? What should we do? In Job Chapter 31, verse 4. Would you say Job was a godly man? I would say so because God said so. He said this, God, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? Doth not he see all my ways and count all my steps? Now, people are into fads. Have you ever noticed that? God, that's why they make so much money. They sell this fad and that fad. I really think who wants to help me? We need to sell some pet rocks again. They haven't been in for a while. We may as well be the first ones to jump on the bandwagon, right? People were buying pet rocks. Remember, they'd come in a little box, and you could name them, and you could take care of them. My kind of a pet, because, you know, if you forget to water it, it's still a rock, you know, just fine as it was the day before. Why would people buy rocks for a pet? It's a fad. And then I had the worry stones, remember? They ought to be coming back pretty soon, too. You know, a rock with a groove ground in it so you can rub your thumb in it and worry. You guys know, and there's suddenly people are grinning. This stuff's time to come back. You'll see it. It'll be coming back, and I'll miss out on it because I'm pastoring instead of marketing. I'm not marketing towards fads. But one of the fads that right now is going on is counting your steps. So they have all these fitness trackers. Some of them go on a ring. Some of them go on a wristwatch, right? Some of them clip on your belt. But it keeps track of your steps. I have a thing that keeps track of my steps, my wore-out shoes. But why are you keeping track of your steps? So you can get that at the end of the day and go like, I walked 1,342 steps. Look how much thinner I am. Hey, I'm so glad that you are concerned about your health and you're working at it and you're improving your health, because I think that's an important thing. God wants us to take care of our bodies. But wouldn't it be neat if we had some sort of fitness tracker that counted our spiritual steps through the day, so we could be more spiritual fit at the end of the day? In Psalm 119, verse 133, it says, order my steps in thy word, and let not mine iniquity have dominion over me. Did you get that? The psalmist is saying, I need light to push back the darkness. I want my way, but I know God's way is best. So God, would you make sure that each step I take is where it needs to be? And then as I move along, I come to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. And it says this, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. What do you mean, remove your foot from evil? Well, if I'm going down the road, something's distracting me over here. I know it's not really what God has for me, but wouldn't that be nice? You ever have any of those? And it distracts you off to the right hand. Oh, hey, look at over there. And distracts you off to the left hand. All of you know, you all have the same problem as I do. Getting distracted, the right hand or left. But I know, Lord, I'm going to walk straight. And so I'm walking along, and all of a sudden I catch myself. I'm going like, this is not a place that a child of light should be. You ever find yourself in a place that you shouldn't be? You're just there. Now what are you going to do about it? He said, here, Lord, help me to get out of there. Remove my foot from evil. This is not a place for me to be. A lot of folks will go like, well, I'm here anyway. It's not my fault. It's just happened. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24 says this. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Did you get the two things there? A good man, a godly man, one of them. His steps are ordered by who? The Lord. And he does what? He delights in his way. Now, I don't know about you, but I've noticed children do this. And children are just little adults. Adults are just better at hiding stuff. But you guys take a look at kids and you make fun of what they do, but you do the same thing. Right? And they think that they're getting away with stuff. You ever see them doing that? Walk along, being really sneaky. And you're just sitting there watching over the couch going like, what are they up? I know what they're up to. Right? You ever watch them? And then you go, right when they get there, you go, they're over there and they're going like, hey, you. Right? They jump back and lose 2 years of their life right there. We think we're getting away with stuff on God. You know it. You're saying like, I know that I should be doing this for God. And I know I should be doing this. So why aren't we? Because we think we can get away with it. That's why. We think it's not going to hurt anything, and it's what we want to do, and we just won't commit. And I have to say, the light will show us the error of our way. If we'll walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship one with another, and I'll delight in his way. I'll be happy to be there. Sometimes when you tell your kids that they have to do something, you ever see them walk along like this? You take out the trash. Oh, I'm right in the middle of something. You kids would never say that, I know. But some kids would. I'm right in the middle of something. Well, do it now. Oh, Now, if you went and grabbed the trash and ran it out there like you do everything else you do with that energy you have in that, you could run it to the trash, put it in, run back in there, and in a nanosecond, you guys know what that is, a nanosecond, you could be back at your important task. But what do we do? 15 minutes later, still going. I don't know why I have to carry this trash. Because everybody knows it's so-and-so's turn. And you guys put the heaviest trash in when you want me to take it out. And so-and-so didn't put the trash bag in right last time, and now I can't get mine in. You get the idea? I'm not picking on kids, because adults, didn't that hit us between the eyes? How many times has God says he'd like us to do something, and rather than just go do it, we're sitting about all the things I'm missing out on and I'm giving up, and boy, God, I sure hope you're happy, because I sure gave up a lot of stuff to make you happy. And he's going like, I beg your pardon? That was for you. How many times have we given up something for God that was really for us? Every time you give up something. But God, I had to give up time to go witness to the neighbors. Well, aren't you glad some neighbor gave up time to come and witness to you? Don't you want your neighbor to be saved? No, I would rather have my business do well. Really? Well, at least we're being honest about it. The lights just got shown on that one, didn't it? We're not too happy about it when you turn the light on. Pastor, turn that light back off. Okay. But you got the idea. God is shining a light on our lives today. And he says, I love you. And I love your neighbor. And the only thing that's important in life is a relationship with God and with others. Everything else is temporal and fades away. If you don't believe that, I will sell you my pickup as a brand new one. My pickup has rust on it. It's coming out in the fenders. It's coming out in the cab corners. It's coming out and I'm going like, oh no. I just got this pickup and it's starting to rust out already. Now, I didn't buy a new one. But do you realize that things are falling apart in this world and they don't matter? What matters is our relationship with God. You see, light pushes back the darkness. It reveals that which is hurting us. And it gives life. You know what? In conclusion, it's your choice. You can walk in darkness or come to the light. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You know, if you haven't, that there's got to be more to life than what you've experienced. You know that there's guilt in your heart that you've got to get rid of. You know that you want to worship someone. It's in you. And you've been worshiping yourself, but it hasn't been satisfying. That's because it's meant to worship God. Will you not receive his forgiveness and become a child of God and become a child of light? And then, Christian, it's your choice too. You can live carnally and in the world, or you can walk as children of light. So where are you today? I found this illustration, and it was kind of sad to me because it is so typical of an average church. So here it is. I didn't know this fellow, and I didn't write this, but it says, every now and then, you meet a born-again believer who really makes an impression for Christ upon your heart. Such was the man named Don. He had been saved in the Navy at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and immediately he started to dig for those precious nuggets of gold found in the Word of God. You guys are aware what that they are, you Christians? Those things you find in God's Word? Don memorized 3 verses each week, and he read his Bible every morning, and he was growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord daily. After Don was discharged from the military, he came back to the States and he visited a fine fundamental Baptist church. Don is a new believer. And so he started talking with one of the leaders of the church. This man had been saved for many years. And he asked him this about the Lord. He said, what precious verse did the Lord show you in your devotion this morning? Just imagine if some new Christian came up and asked you that. That leader of the church replied, well, he thought that it was really fine if the preacher read his Bible every day, but it was not his habit of doing. If that young man had come to you, where are you in the light? Because where does our light source come from? God is the light, and His Word is what reveals to us what needs to be done in our lives. So I have to close with this. Are you saved today? If you're not, why not trust Jesus Christ right now? Then I ask this question of those who are saved. On an honest scale, with God's light shining on your life right now, would you say that you're backslidden or right where God wants you to be? You say, well, wait a minute. I'm not backslidden, but I'm not where God wants me to be. Well, what happened there? And lastly, are you a clear lens for Jesus? Because remember, we are children of light, and we're to let the light of what? The Lord shine through us. Now, how many of you have been in North Dakota night and you looked up and you saw the moon shining brightly? It can be total dark, but boy, doesn't that night light, the moon light up there. Now, they told me in science class that the moon is just another, well, is it a planet? It's a moon, but it's a sphere of Earth and whatever. There's no light source in the moon, right? The moon just reflects the sunlight. There's no light in me either, except God in me, and I reflect His light. And if I'm dirty, I don't reflect the light of Christ clearly. So if for no other reason than this, that I might reflect the light of Christ to others, I want to be clean. So we're going to close. And the hymn of invitation is open to all. If you don't know Christ as Savior, we have an altar call here. You're welcome to come down and talk with us. And if you're a lady, I'll find a lady to take you aside and answer your questions about what salvation is from the Bible. And you can choose to whether you'll receive Christ. I would hope you did. If you're a man, I'll be glad to show you, or one of the men can. But that's what the altar call is for. It's also for Christians who say, you know what? I need to go make things right with God. I just need to get out that polishing cloth and, you know, get that gloss. I need that Rain-X on there to keep that dirt from sticking. Lord, would you shine the light on over here? Because I just cleaned the windows in my house and the sun came out and I saw something I missed. Lord, let's get rid of that one too. Let's stand. Let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 321.